T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It reminds me, if you guys watched the show back in the day, of the smoke monster on Lost, you know, that would just kind of run rampage over the island. And if it grabbed you, you were done for pretty much. This is what happens to all revolutions. And make no mistake, we have been in the middle for the past several years of a woke revolution. Eventually, the revolution, guys, turns on itself. You saw it going all the way back historically. What happened with the French Revolution? They started guillotining all of the revolutionaries themselves. Chrissy Teigen was one of the people out there leading the charge on cancel culture. Turns out now she's starting to get canceled herself.
That's exactly right. When the revolution is not based on the freedom and liberty and expansion of rights of the people, then Clay Travis there is exactly right. It turns on itself. It eats its own. You know, everything that we're seeing from cancel culture to critical race theory, these are all Marxist tactics. This is a Marxist revolution. It's woke supremacy, as Senator Tim Scott famously has said recently. All that and more is happening, and we're witnessing it right now. I don't know. We'll see if it ultimately is a fad that finally goes away. But boy, is it for a fad, it's caused a lot of destruction in the United States of America. Let's talk to our next guest about that. Really happy to be speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor. He joins the Annie Fry Show every Wednesday, usually right before I'm on. So happy to be here today. DeRoy, it's Tim Jones in the big chair today for Annie. Annie's out on maternity leave for a few weeks, and really glad to be able to speak to you today.
Tim, it's great to talk to you, and best wishes to Annie, your family, and the baby. I don't know if it's come along yet or on the way.
It has. She had little Molly last week.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Well, that's great news. Well, good luck and best wishes to all of them.
Yeah. Thank you, DeRoy. And everybody's doing very well. So very good.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So, DeRoy, I'll get back to the whole cancel culture thing in a minute. But, you know, the news of the day, the news of the hour right now, we just potted up some of it, was Joe Biden wrapping up his meeting with Putin. And, you know, DeRoy, no matter who they are, Republican, Democrat, I think everybody goes into office thinking, well, I'll be able to have something else. I'll have a different rapport, a different approach, a different style with these horrific world leaders like Putin or Chairman Xi or Kim Jong-un or whoever it is. And, you know, then they learn that governing's hard. And Joe Biden should have known what he's getting into, right, DeRoy? Because he's been in the White House for 8 years before as Barack Obama's sidekick. And so, you know, he knows Putin. He knows how Putin's going to be. And it sounds like, once again, a world leader has gotten the upper hand on Joe Biden.
Well, I think you're right. And I think Joe Biden gave the upper hand away a few weeks ago when he basically handed over removed the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would connect Russia with Germany, I think provide 80% of the natural gas for Germany. I mean, it's almost like watching a friend of yours say, okay, well, you know, go right ahead and let that heroin dealer stick the needle in and turn you into a heroin addict. And you know, what could go wrong? even if the decision were, okay, let's do that, we should get something in return. Like, okay, you know, we'll let you have the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but you got to get the troops off the Ukrainian border, or you've got to let this opposition leader, Navalny, go. You've got to hold free elections. You got to do something. But this was just handed over on a silver platter a couple of weeks ago. I don't think we got anything in return unless it's something in some secret documents that have not been released. Nothing on cybersecurity. We could have said we want the hackers who broke into the Colonial Pipeline and then hacked the JBS meatpacking company. We want them on an airplane headed towards Andrews Air Force Base for arrest and prosecution. We want them in the air in the next 90 minutes. That didn't happen. So a massive, massive concession, which is going to provide a lot of hard cash to the Kremlin and also create a dangerous situation for one of our NATO allies and basically make them dependent on the Kremlin for energy. Wide open to having that natural gas shut off if Germany doesn't fall in line, if, let's say, the Russia invades Ukraine or there's some other international crisis. And again, in return for what? Nothing, for all as I can tell.
DeRoy, you mentioned the hacks that increasingly look like they're from either hostile independent agents or at least agents working with our enemy governments and things like that. And you mentioned Russia, which is in the news today. Is this something that you think they've been capable of for a while and wouldn't do it under Trump because Trump would fight back so hard, and now Biden's not going to do anything, so let's hit the United States as hard as we can with this stuff?
I think it's the latter. I think they are testing. They tested Biden to see what the response would be. The response is incredibly weak. I think that Biden should have come out when the Colonial Pipeline was hacked and we discovered that the Russians did it. He came out and said, well, our intelligence says the Kremlin wasn't involved, so whatever. Look, we could have said we don't have any evidence that the Kremlin actually did this, but it still happened in Russia, and we expect the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, to use all of his investigative resources and law enforcement resources to find the responsible parties and hand them over to the United States for prosecution. Now, I'm not sure that Putin actually would have done that, but at least rhetorically and diplomatically would have put us on record saying that that's what we wanted, and he would have suffered at least some PR damage. He didn't suffer any damage at all. And then a couple of days later, oh, hey, let's have a summit. Let's get together and meet, which basically rewarded him for this. You know, I wouldn't have met with him right away. It's fine for the American president, Russian president, to speak. I mean, they do still have atomic weapons they could lob at us, so I think the dialogue is fine. But you need to put some time between this awful attack on our sovereignty and our critical infrastructure, and then rewarding this man with a summit. I think I would have pushed that off until the end of the summer, maybe the fall at the earliest.
You know, DeRoy, I've heard a lot of commentators, international commentators, and even folks like Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the UN, say that America should have gone in united, Republicans and Democrats united with Joe Biden as our current president, into the G7 summit, and there should have been three inflection points where we should have gotten something accomplished, where we should have applied some pressure. And that should have been on, number one, on China and the origins of COVID-19 and what the heck was going on in the Wuhan lab named for the Wuhan coronavirus, which even liberal comedian Jon Stewart was making fun of this week. Mm-hmm. Number two, Russia. There should have been something going on there with Russia. There should have been some inflection points with Russia with the cybersecurity attacks. And number three, there should have been something which also involves Russia with the Iranian nuclear deal. Well, on all three of those, Joe Biden was either not present, didn't make any points, didn't score any goals. And on the third one, Iran, he seems to be more than willing to jump back into a really bad nuclear deal. You know, Donald Trump would have made some news on at least one, if not all three of those points. The national, the global liberal media would have freaked out, which would have meant it was good for America. DeRoy, the fact that there's really nothing coming out of the last week or so of all these meetings and all these summits and all these things on any of those points I just mentioned, that's not good for America, is it?
No, it's not good at all. I mean, this looked like just sort of a, I don't know, maybe like a friends reunion kind of thing. I mean, kind of like what I do with my old friends from junior high and high school. We get together every late January and go skiing in the Rockies, kind of like that, maybe without the actual skis and snow. I don't think anything concrete came out of this. It was seemed to be an international social occasion, chance to take some pictures and look beautiful in front of the streets and the beaches of Cornwall.
Mm-hmm. With all the
UK.
Beautiful people, yeah.
Oh, yeah, beautiful people. Isn't that lovely? And then the same in NATO. And nothing concrete. Look, I mean, even if the decision were made, well, we don't want to pressure China, we don't want to push them too hard with sanctions, at a bare minimum, we should say, look, we're not going to sanction you, we're not going to do anything, but we have to have an explanation. We need to know what happened. We're not going to arrest Chinese scientists, but for Christ's sakes, give us a timeline of what happened, what took place, so at least we'll have answers on that. We've not even asked for that. I mean, that's the bare minimum, sort of light touch. I think much stronger is to sanction them and say, look, unless you people give us this information and fess up, you're going to suffer XYZ sanctions, whether it be trade-oriented or tariffs or fines or kick them out of the WHO, whatever it might be. But no price paid. I mean, not even just the point of telling us, okay, you don't even have to apologize. Just explain to us what happened. Not even that much has taken place. So, I mean, this is just one more area where Donald J. Trump's out of office, and instead of a tough guy who was brash and some people didn't care for his style, but nobody ever said he was a softy. Instead, we've got sort of, Mr. Rogers diplomacy.
DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor and an author. I'm looking at your latest piece from Newsmax.com. Memo to Manchin, join the GOP. This is an interesting topic to me, and we've kind of debated the merits of would that ever happen. What do you think about Manchin? I mean, he seems to be the last line of defense in a lot of ways, but would he ever actually join the GOP?
I don't know if he would, but he should. He should give it very serious thought because he's just being attacked by people in his own party. Mondaire Jones, he's a congressman from here in New York. He responded to an article in which Joe Manchin said that he would not vote for H.R. 1, the big nationalization of election law across the country. He's not a big fan of the infrastructure bill and so on. And Mondaire Jones, Democrat congressman from New York, said that Manchin's op-ed might as well be titled "Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow." Then you've got these other people saying that this is Jim Crow-like behavior. Senator Manchin is a clown, said Jamel Hill, a contributor to Atlantic Magazine. Just get some really, really obnoxious comments from people in his own party. Meanwhile, the state of West Virginia has moved steadily right, going from supporting Mitt Romney back in 2008 by, I think it was about 55% or so, and then in this last go-around supporting Donald J. Trump for president by 69%. Only, I think, Wyoming voted for 70%. That was the only state that was more pro-Biden than pro-Trump rather than was West Virginia. So his whole party's moving to the right. His whole party's becoming more Republican. I think you got to just keep up with the West Virginians and switch parties and stop taking all this abuse and instead be a party where he'll be welcome and applauded and respected.
DeRoy, last topic I want to finish where I started. I played that clip from Clay Travis about cancel culture, and it's interesting, DeRoy. You see this little, it's like the slow turning of the Titanic, and I don't know if they'll be able to avoid the iceberg or not, but you've got some old fashioned liberals, old fashioned Democrats like James Carville, Bill Maher, this week John Stewart coming out and saying, stop saying that the virus that came from the Wuhan lab, saying it's Wuhan coronavirus, is racist, it's stupid, we should be figuring this out. All these kind of old-fashioned, old-school liberals, they're speaking up against the woke supremacy, the cancel culture. They're concerned because they know that ultimately that divides their party. Deep fissures within it, and they know they are going to have trouble. They have had trouble winning many elections. They almost lost the House this last go-around. It's not looking good for them in 2022. But, DeRoy, I don't know. Is the new AOC squad left-wing lunatics going to listen to these old fuddy-duddies or not? Or, is cancel culture, is it jump the shark? Are we going to finally get rid of this awful experiment? Or, what say you on this whole topic?
Yeah, I think that the AOC, Ilhan Omar crowd, they're not going to be swayed. They're hard, hard left. If they're not fully communist, they're at least neo-Marxians, and I think neo-totalitarians as well. So I don't think they're going to have any sense to dial this back at all. Mm-hmm. What I do see happening is a lot of parents who are very upset about critical race theory and are not particularly crazy. I'm talking about mainly whites, but there are blacks who are upset about this as well. But the white parents who come home and hear from their kids who were, first, second, third grade, mommy, daddy, I was called a racist today just because I'm white. Mm. I don't think any parent, left, middle, right, likes to hear that sort of stuff. And so in the last few weeks, you've seen parents pouring into school board meetings outraged and enraged and saying, "What are you doing? You're brainwashing our kids. You are calling them names. You're calling them racist. The worst, you know, other than murder and rapist, probably the worst name you can be called in this country." And they're not at all amused, and they've been recalling school board members, running against them, and so on. And so I think that if the left keeps pushing this nonsense, it's going to boomerang in their faces badly, and they'll be in big trouble come November of 2022.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, truly, truly indeed. DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor, joins us every Wednesday afternoon here on the Annie Fry Show. DeRoy, thanks for all the great time today. Appreciate the insight.
My pleasure. Great talking with you.
Yeah, you too as well. Let's get to a break here, and we'll be back continuing to digest all this. You know, one of the things that Putin said, Putin used the talking points of the U.S. far left against Joe Biden himself today. It was kind of an interesting turnabout, fair play kind of deal. I'll talk about that and lots more when we come back. Happy to take your phone calls as well. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. All that straight ahead here at 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Especially if Senate Democrats are not going to pass reforms on H.R. 1, we cannot rely solely on a wish of winning elections, particularly in the Senate, when voting rights are under attack in Georgia, Arizona, and Texas, across the country. And if we're not going to pass H.R. 1 with the preemptive clauses that can roll some of that voter suppression attacks back, yeah, I believe that we should protect our Supreme Court, and I thought that should absolutely be a consideration.
I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Yeah, that's the only explanation I can think of, is she must have been drinking. That's Speaker of the House, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah. She is, right?
I get it. I get you, Joe.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely leads the narrative.
Where is Nancy Pelosi?
I haven't heard from her in a while.
Is she around?
She's not leading the charge on these things.
I mean, when Donald Trump was in office, and I can tell you, I had a similar dynamic when I was Speaker. I had Jay Nixon.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's your two top people in the state. Not because of me, because the office I occupied wasn't my office. I just happened to occupy it I was honored to occupy it for a few years. It's the governor, Democratic governor, Republican Speaker of the House. And my colleague in the Senate at the time was the good Senator Tom Dempsey. Great guy. I still work with him on some projects. He's got a great government affairs firm now, based out of St. Charles. He works in Jefferson City. He does a lot of great work for education reform and things like that that I've always stood by. And Tom was like, "Tim, you're the mouth from the South down there in Eureka. You handle the media and all this crap. And I got my hands full with the Senate," you know, as every Senate leader always does. And he was more than happy to have me kind of be the diversion, be the bright, shiny object for the media. And I was happy to do that because I can't stand liberal media. So it was.
Nixon. It all worked out.
Yeah, it was all great.
I didn't know that about you.
And so you're seeing the same thing. You saw the same thing develop between Trump and Pelosi, right? Every day. A little bit of Chucky Schumer every once in a while, but not as much. And now that Trump is gone, Nancy Pelosi has no adversary other than, those horrible Republicans. You know, kind of a vague, amorphous, I hate conservatives kind of mentality, which you really can't say. They do, but they can't really say that. It was... Mm-hmm. Well, we hate Donald Trump because he's a horrible human being. You can't just get out there although they have said it, they claim that over half the country is a bunch of, Barack Obama started it, Bible clinging, bitter clingers.
Clinger to your guns, yeah.
And then Hillary Clinton doubled down on deplorables, and then Joe Biden tripled down on Neanderthals. Nothing but name calling, and the media never calls him out.
Do you think that there is conflict going on between Pelosi and the squad? Do you
yes.
think that there?
Oh,
I
yeah.
think I feel like that that's yeah. also something.
Yes.
I mean, it's not going to be shown on TV. Nope. There's it's not going to be a very public back and forth between them. But I think you're right that Donald Trump was the adversary and everybody was very comfortable publicly saying that he's the adversary. And then once you take him away, then you have to start looking within your own party mm-hmm. and seeing that those people trying to fight for the power and the control. And I think that Pelosi found that with the squad.
Mm-hmm. Bucket of milk, table for six. Wow. Yeah,
I don't know if this is a smart thing to do, but try to get into Pelosi's head, and you would be able to speak to this a little bit better because it's the same sort of same situation. But when you're the speaker and you are not able to get anything done because the opposition party is in power in the White House or the governor, like you were saying with you, it seems like your only role really is to try to sort of be public about the things you're trying to get done.
Yep.
Because you know you can't really get anything passed. But now she's in a situation where everybody's expecting her to get things done, and she's getting bills passed in the House barely, because they barely have the majority, and then they're all stalling in the Senate. So it's got to be frustrating for her. She can't really even go out and try to trumpet these bills because it's her own party that's stopping them from happening in the Senate.
Yeah, and she'll blame it on Mitch McConnell and the evil Republicans yes. because 10 of them won't vote to end the filibuster on name the crazy issue. But you know what? That's a really hard argument to make. You know, I'm sorry. If your ideas were that good, you should be able to get 10 squishy rhino Republicans, and there's plenty of them over there. Mm-hmm. You should be able to get 10 of them if the idea is that great for a swath of America. And let's remember, each U.S. senator of any modestly sized state, with the exception of some of the smaller ones, is going to represent a million people or more. So you're talking about people who represent a lot of people, a lot of voters. And you're telling me that your ideas are so bad, they're that horrible, which they are, but you can't get 10. So on anything that would be sensible, all they need would be to not have a filibuster and to get 50 Democrats on board in the Senate with Kamala Harris breaking the tie. But they can't even get things to a vote because their ideas are that bad, because you don't even get to the filibuster argument when you don't have 50 of your own party on your side.
Right.
And it's not just Joe Manchin. It's Kristen Sinema, and it's a couple, and there's a couple others they don't mention, because I think the media on purpose doesn't mention, like, Joe Manchin's become public enemy number one. Mm-hmm. And Joe Manchin's a liberal. I'm sorry to tell people, I know he's standing in the gap between us and Armageddon on a lot of bad issues. Joe Manchin, and DeRoy's point is valid. He should join the GOP, but he won't, because he's an old-fashioned country Democrat that we used to have in power here in the state of Missouri. So I know exactly the type of Democrat Joe Manchin is. When I entered the House, a lot of them were there. They're all gone now. They've all either gone away and retired, or they flipped to the R column, mm-hmm. which is why we don't have enough conservatives in the state. We got plenty of Republicans. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough conservatives, people who want to cut taxes, pass education reform, make us a right-to-work state, get rid of regulations, let government get out of the way. We got a lot of big government R's running around in Missouri. We're not as, you know, Illinois is a whole different kit and caboodle. But yeah. we've got our problems here, too, because we should be doing more. We should be doing like what Florida's doing. And like what Texas is doing and Tennessee is doing. But we're not. And so, you know, my point is Pelosi really has nowhere to go. I think that's why you don't hear from her much. Because number one, to Katie's point, point's very valid. She is barely getting stuff out of the House at this point because she has a majority of 5. Smallest majority since, I think, 1894. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then it goes to the Senate. And they could come. You notice how they've stopped complaining about the filibuster and about ending the filibuster? Because they can't even get to that argument because they don't have 50 Democrats on
board.
It's
a wild argument to even put forth to try to get rid of the filibuster. I feel like that's a crazy thing to try to get rid of.
It is crazy.
It is crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy. It would change government so much. Every couple of years, you'd be swinging so far each way. Right now, the filibuster is the only thing preventing us from kind of having these wild shifts every 2 to 4 years based on who's president, who controls Congress. And And there's two senators on the Democrat side who are seeing that longer term and saying, you know what? We probably shouldn't get rid of this because it's going to swing back the other way if we get rid of it. And if they get rid of it now, they've already lost, you know, a portion of the session that they're in. So they're sort of saying, well, we'd get maybe a year out of no filibuster. But then if it swings back the other way, the other party's going to have 2 years of it, assuming, you know, we have a Republican president in 2024 in the Senate.
That's me. Sorry. I was getting ready to play Caitlin Collins.
No, you were playing the music.
Go
Ryan, shut up.
Ryan's too much. Stone.
I just wanted to thank everybody for this great Gracie that we won.
We're walking off. Walk off music.
No, very valid point. Extremely. You know how I just found the clip. So do you guys know the Twitter feed, the Twitter avatar, Cat Turd? Have you heard of Cat Turd?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Very funny.
Katie has it. Very funny, though.
It's literally an avatar of a white cat with glasses on.
Yeah.
And apparently Cat Turd got canceled because it's Cat Turd 2 now.
Oh.
And Cat Turd's whole mission in life. And, okay, there is a Twitter. This is how hilarious Twitter is. There is a Twitter avatar of a white cat with sunglasses on Twitter who has 521,000 followers.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Cat Turd is so funny. And Cat Turd's whole mission in life is to attack Joe Biden, basically. You know,
be careful. So, there are fake Cat Turd accounts now.
Ah, so this is the real one.
Okay.
And you know how we all reacted viscerally to Joe Biden jumping down Caitlin Collins' throat at the end of that press conference? Mm-hmm. So Glenn Greenwald, another liberal, another famous global liberal who doesn't like Donald Trump but also hates big government anybody's, we were correct in our reaction. Glenn, because Cat Turd retweeted Glenn Greenwald. That's why I caught it. Mm. Glenn Greenwald says, Biden aggressively insulting and demeaning a female reporter while she's just doing her job, all in front of her colleagues. Cat Turd responds, unhinged, because he actually got one real question, you know?
That's true.
So I'll play some of the sound.
This was at
the very beginning. So Katie was, my back is kind of, I'm kind of halfway to the monitor, and Katie and Ryan are watching. They were both like, you guys were both looking at this, and I'm like, what's going on? And Biden was done with the press conference. Mm-hmm. He's finished. His question, his little flip chart.
His sheet was done.
His Garanimal sheet was over. Mm-hmm. What was that, color forms we used to have when we were kids? Color forms you know, with the little characters on
Shrinky
it.
Shrinky dinks.
So it's done. It's over. It's at the end. So he's got his coat in his hand, and he's walking off this gorgeous stage in Geneva, Switzerland, and he's heading to wherever. And Caitlin Collins obviously got under his skin, firing questions at him. One of the few intrepid reporters, I guess, CNN has. And he stopped and he came back and he started berating her.
And wagging his finger.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump did that to a female reporter?
I mean, he was like, he left, right? You and I were like, whoa, he came back and
he had packed his stuff up. He was in the danger zone because you know it's unscripted. So
The way Joe Biden treats women is just unbelievable. It's the same. It's worse than what Trump has ever been accused of doing.
It's not good.
The smelling of the hair and the feeling of the shoulder, just like it creeps me out.
That's why I never stand next to him.
Right?
When you get the opportunity, you just
if
never
I see
do
him,
it.
I'm like, nope,
no,
nope.
Nope, going
I've
the
seen
other
the
way.
Videos.
He wants to sniff your hair.
He's sniffing,
sniffing the back of your neck.
If he wanted to sniff my hair, I'd be a little bit honored because I don't have as much. So if he's like, ooh, that looks like a nice mane, I'd be like, hey,
like
go
watermelon.
Ahead, sir.
My hair is good enough for the leader of the free world to sniff. Have at it.
I did a complete 180.
So here he is at the end of this press conference. As Ryan said, he's like, he's packed up and he's heading for Spain or wherever he's going next. Shouting questions at him. He's walking away. He's not answering any of this. He's got his sunglasses. Oh, now he turns around and he's coming back.
I say again, we can't hear you. I said the families of the detained Americans came up and we discussed it. We're going to follow through with that discussion. I am not going to walk away on that.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident, James. What the hell? What do you do over there?
So,
when did I say I was confident? I said, what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating a fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
You don't understand that you're in your own business.
It's a summit with
China. That's man, it. Right there. There's the money line. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with that whole thing. I love how Joe Biden wants to talk tougher with U.S. reporters than with evil dictators like Putin and Xi. I wish he'd talk as tough with Putin and Xi as he does with a female reporter from CNN.
And why did that question set him off?
I don't know.
I mean, he's walking away. Like, that's not even that crazy of a... It's a question. I'll give CNN credit for that. It's not sure. What did you have for lunch today? But it's not a difficult question. Like, okay, here's been the track record. Putin doesn't look like he's going to change. Why do you think he's going to change based on what you're talking about today? Totally legit, normal question. And he like loses it, walks back into the forum. He's like, listen, he's like throwing his jacket down. Okay,
all right,
now you've gone too far. I mean, they're asking Donald Trump questions like, why are you a racist? Right. And that would finally get, okay, I've had enough of
why
you.
Why did you work with the Russians to change the election? Those were questions happening to Trump.
These are just normal journalism questions.
And I think even, Tim, you just said this, like, why isn't he putting the pressure on with Putin and why isn't he being aggressive with Putin? Let's just say that he might have been. We don't know, but let's just fake it and say that he might have been.
For sake of argument.
Perception, again, going back to that word, perception is everything. We would never believe that he would put the pressure on Biden, on Putin, because of the way that Joe Biden acts. There's no way that he has that kind of energy and, you know, gusto that we don't see that every single day. So even if he did have that kind of situation happened with Putin, we wouldn't know because he never shows that side of himself. He's always just the
Caitlin Collins from CNN obviously heard something, and maybe she got it wrong, but she, in her mind, she heard him say something along the lines that I'm confident that in the next 6 months I'm going to know like where we're going with all this and what we're going to get done. Like, that's what she must have heard, and that's what she put together. So she asked that question. And then he comes back and says the line that terrified me. I'm not confident of anything. I don't want the leader of the free world saying that to an international group of reporters after you just walked out of a meeting with KGB Putin. I'm not really confident of anything. Great.
Okay, why'd you have the meeting?
Well, then she hears that he is confident. He said something like, we're going to see in 6 months. Okay, well, that leads you to believe what's going to happen in 6 months. What are you going to accomplish? What's going to be done? Then he comes back and says, well, I'm not confident of anything. So then out of this whole theater, this was the theater of the absurd this week. Do either of you take anything out of what the United States of America got out of this summit with either the G7, NATO, or Putin?
It's been nothing. It's just been it's honestly been a reason to look at something and just sort of move on. Like, there's nothing happening.
Out of all of this, I can't say that we're going to do X now or that we did Y.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say is Joe Biden says that all of us need to work together because we are the world. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
Maricopa County update?
Next.
Okay.
Let's do that in our next segment. Maricopa County election audit. Ryan's going to break it down for us when we come back here on the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
I told President Putin my agenda is not against Russia or anyone else. It's for the American people. Fighting COVID-19, rebuilding our economy, reestablishing relationships around the world with our allies and friends, and protecting the American people. That's my responsibility as president.
So I'm just going to try to get along with every despot and tin pot dictator and KGB agent around the world. But boy, when it comes to CNN reporters, I'm going to snap back at them and take their heads off.
It's just weird. It's a weird reaction.
It's a weird tough guy attitude, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, why'd you pick now, man?
Yeah. Why'd you pick the CNN reporter?
Yeah.
They're usually on your team, dude.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Friendly fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's friendly fire for sure. Whew. So, Maricopa County.
You ready?
The election audit. This is one of the few places you're going to hear about this. You may hear about it if you read the Epoch Times, the Epic Times. OAN, I think, may cover this, or Newsmax.
Yeah,
Fox hardly ever.
Definitely is. Fox never touches it. It's amazing.
But we're covering it for it here because it's happening. It's something that's actually happening, and you're not going to get much reporting on this anywhere else. So, Ryan, what is the latest coming out of Maricopa County, Arizona?
So anytime there's news, we'll bring it to you. I mean, they've done a really good job of not having leaks. Because that's the danger of these things is that, you know, you're trying to do an official audit. You don't want people just out there saying, well, here's what I found. And they're doing a really good job of that. So a lot of times there's not a lot to report. But when the DOJ gets involved, like Merrick Garland, we played sound from him on Monday. I think that happened over the weekend or Friday. That he says the Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Justice, wants to get involved in this audit because of fill in the blank. They're worried about, they're not worried about election integrity. They're worried about voter suppression, which can't believe is even coming out of their mouths.
So Merrick Garland's going to go out to Arizona to fight the insurrection, huh? Basically is what it comes down to.
Basically, yeah. You know, it makes you question even more, well, why are they so concerned about this?
Exactly.
If they're getting the federal government involved in it. I don't think it's going to happen. Here's the news. So Josh Barnett is a congressional candidate in Arizona. Mm. He is also an audit organizer. And he is one of the big sources. I would say Kelly Ward, head of the GOP out there, is another one for just news that's happening there. And that's one of the great things about social media. Like, yes, we slam it all the time, but you can follow these people directly. Sure. And you don't have to go through, you know, news sources. You're direct from the mouth right there. And he's part of this sort of pushback on Merrick Garland that's happening this week. And he is sent along with quite a few other people from Arizona who were part of this audit, a notice to Merrick Garland that the DOJ has zero jurisdiction and no right to interfere in the people's business in Arizona or any other state. I think there was a state rep who probably was a little bit inflammatory. I don't know if this would actually happen, but she said, if the attorney general sets foot on Arizona soil with the intent to shut down this audit, he will be in an Arizona prison. So, at least the rhetoric is
Wild West.
It is. It's extreme, and I guess it needs to be because we're in extreme times. That's sort of the one line of story. Now, this same guy, Josh Barnett from Arizona, he's involved in a lot of sort of the audit discussion because a lot of states, representatives from other states, especially swing states, have been visiting the audit to see how it's done, so that they can report back to their own state houses, and that, you know, there's a lot of talk. I think everybody's kind of waiting for the results. That's the main thing. But there is a lot of talk, a lot of people visiting it. Josh Barnett, this is from the National File. Now, this is kind of a big deal, and I haven't found this quote in a lot of places, but it is a direct quote. So they're not like trying to say, an anonymous source has told us that so-and-so. This is quoting Josh Barnett, and I'll just read it to you. Quote, "We found a ballot shortage anywhere from 5 to 10% of the votes."
Wow.
He said. The quote goes on to say, "It looks like a couple hundred thousand ballots are unaccounted for. The ballots are missing." That's not results from the audit. That's just saying, as we've been doing the audit, there's supposed to be 2.1 million ballots that they're recounting and putting under scrutiny of many different kinds. And he's saying that roughly 200,000 of them are just not there. That's a huge quote. And I'm waiting for him to talk about it on his own Twitter, because this is a National File article that's quoting him. So it's not anonymous. That's why I'm like, I think it's fair to quote him. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, that's it. That's the bomb. And then there's no real follow-up. So you're like, well, what does it mean? What are you doing about it? We don't know yet. But that's the news.
Are those the ballots that were the Xerox copies of vote Joe Biden for president and nobody else was voting for?
Well, you can make some assumptions.
I'm just asking a question.
You can make some assumptions. We don't know, but that's if those numbers are even close. Like, even if he's saying, well, it's 5 to 10%, it ends up being just 5% or low, that's still a ton of ballots.
Sedition. Yeah, see, that's the problem. We can't have we're not supposed to have this conversation. I'm glad we get to have the conversation because if there's no there, why do the fact that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States of America, is paying attention to this, if this is all just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, if you're on the left and you think this is all a waste, let them waste their time.
Sure.
If they're wasting their time and their money and the Republicans just want to, if they think they're just putting on their tinfoil hats and nothing, why do you care if they're wasting their time and they're going to find nothing? Because there's nothing to find. That's what you think if you're a leftist, if you're on the left. So why do they care so much? What are they worried about? See, that's the problem is you bring in Merrick Garland to interfere now, then you're going, whoa, wait a minute. All you're going to do is fuel the conspiracy theories on the other side. And as we're seeing about the Wuhan coronavirus, a different topic, Some of these things that were labeled conspiracy theories over the last 18 months, now that Fauci's emails have come out, are shown to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something we need to know about Arizona's electoral process that they don't want us to find out? I don't know. I'm just asking the question, because you can't even ask the question these days without people in the media or in positions of power on the left completely freaking out.
Well, as you know, politicians, especially people in federal government, they're not stupid when it comes to protecting their own skin or their own party.
That's for true.
So they might be dumb in a lot of ways, but they know how to advance themselves for sure. One of the main arguments, we don't run out of time here. One of the main arguments that they keep saying, and Merrick Garland said in that clip from Friday, is that we're concerned about undermining voter confidence. Well, on first blush, you go, oh, okay, well, I guess that's an argument. But think that through. What party's voter confidence would you be affecting if you're affecting voter confidence with audits? You'd be affecting Republican voter confidence. So that would serve them better to just let this happen if it's going to undermine Republican voter confidence. So then you really ask, well, if it's going to affect voter confidence in the opposition party, then what really are you hiding here? Like, what do you have to gain by going into this if you know that if you let it go, it would actually affect, it would benefit you?
Yeah, let the audit happen to prove your point.
Yeah, that too.
And be happy about it.
Yes.
Instead, they light their hair on fire. It's unbelievable. Wow. Well, very good. Thanks for the update.
Packed into 6 minutes there.
Fantastic.
There we go.
Excellent work. We'll be back in the 2 o'clock hour with another jam-packed 60 minutes featuring Adam Schuster, Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at the Illinois Policy Institute, and Nick Schroer. Yeah, wild man Nick Schroer. What the heck is going on? I hear there may be a special session next week in Jefferson City. They just left. Ah! Freedoms, liberties, and pocketbooks once again at risk. Nick Schroer will tell us all that here on The Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.